Hey everyone, the Vern here. Before this episode begins, I should let you know that I was having some mic issues, so that's why it kind of sounds like it's muffled a little bit, but it's still a good show. I urge you to keep listening. I thank you very much. I also want to take this time to give a shout out to some other great podcasts that I forgot to mention. One of them is Nostalgia Junk Pod. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for retweeting our episode. I greatly appreciate that very much. Also want to give a shout out here to some of the shows that have helped inspire the series. One of them is Shots and Applaud. Jen, Lydia, and Naomi, they do a wonderful podcast where they explore movies in multiple parts, just like we're doing here right now. Gotta give a shout out here to the Deep Blue Sea podcast, hosted by Jay Kluet and Mark Hoffmeyer. They also are doing a deep dive, into the movie Deep Blue Sea. So definitely appreciate that very much. And now here's the show. Enjoy. This podcast is a proud member of the Let's Chat Club. Find out how you can become a member by going to the website letschatpodcast.net. The Fallen podcast will contain adult language and heavy spoilers. It is intended for a mature audience. Everybody, and welcome to Whatever with Jason Soto, the only podcast that has its own fleshlights. No, just kidding. Sorry.
So fleshlights?
Yes.
Well, if there's anything my podcast does need more, is a fleshlight.
A fleshlight.
So.
Yeah, no, right? See, gotta get those Whatever with Jason Soto fleshlights.
I will work on that. Okay. That'll be the next branding that I do.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Cinema Recall Podcast. This podcast has no fleshlights, so apologize about that. I'm your host, actually, the Vern. Joining me here again is Jason Soto from the podcast Whatever with Jason Soto. My deep apologies to Ryan Luis Rodriguez from the Reels of Justice podcast, as well as Coolness Chronicles, who couldn't make it on this episode because I was an idiot and actually scheduled to go see a movie on the actual day that we usually record it. So that was my fault. So Ryan will be back on next week. But luckily, Jason is lucky to, or maybe unlucky, to join me for this next episode of our Map of Mulholland Drive. But Jason, how are you, sir?
I am doing good, sir. How are you?
Good. I'm not done through with it yet, but I listened to part of your latest episode of Whatever with Jason Soto with Zany Man, Bill Zany.
Yes.
From the Rabbit Hole Productions show.
Top 5 A to Z.
And I love your discussion all about Muppets in drama films or Muppets
that
in
needs
films.
To happen. I mean, that just needs to be a thing. Like, why can't the Muppets just be like actors and just cast them in like movies as characters, but not be the Muppets?
Exactly.
Like a guy named like Robert who has to go like investigate a haunted house, you know?
Yeah, but I like your theme too. But I have like a drama where someone's like father dies and Fozzie Bear just happens to be a guy comforting them.
There you go.
You know?
Yes. Because all these comedians can be, you know, do dramatic roles, so why can't Fozzie do the same thing?
Exactly. And I want to see, like, romantic comedy with, like, Janice. Just playing, like, the
I've
lead.
I've always liked Janice. Yeah. She needs her own movie.
I agree with that completely.
We need a Janice movie. Damn it.
Hell yeah.
Get on that. Sesame Workshop.
Sesame Workshop. Muppet Labs. Disney of all things. Before we do get into our episode here, I do want to give a quick little shout out to some wonderful people who actually helped retweet and share our last episode. So I'm going to give a shout out right now to the Real Sharks podcast. I want to thank Ryan over at the Coolest Chronicles. I want to thank Tim from First Time Watchers. I want to thank Ryan L. Terry from the Forums Our Crowd podcast. I want to thank Mutant Theater 2, the gentleman over at Science Fiction Revenant, as well as your next favorite movie pod. So thank you very much for you gentlemen for giving us a little
late and shout out on this last episode. And if you, dear folks, you know, want to hear your name mentioned on the podcast, please give us late as well. Give us a, well, just more late, give us a wee tweet, and I'll be sure to mention you other upcoming episodes that we do. And then just really quickly here, I gotta give a shout out right now to also the Uncredited Extras podcast, as well as Podcast HQ, so thank you very much for that. We're continuing our series right now talking about Mulholland Drive. When we last left off, we basically had a bunch of phone calls that were happening in this weird underground, I guess, I don't know, it's like an office building, but the basement, but the basement's actually kind of nice. There's like a glass wall, and there's like this little guy sitting in this chair, and he's making phone calls. So yeah, that's where we kind of left off with that. But let's do this right now, as we kind of do with all of our episodes. I want to basically take a little break, play some quick ads, and then we'll be right back, all right? After these messages,
right back. Hey everyone, I am Chris.
And I'm Christine, and we do a podcast about life, love, and hot topics. We're family friendly.
Yeah, well, mostly.
And you can catch us every week.
So subscribe to the Chris and Christine Show on your favorite streaming service.
And buckle up, Buttercup, because you're in for some fun.
Some fun? Oh yeah, that sounds fantastic.
Any horror fans in the house? It's Riley on Film. Horror film reviews twice a week. My listeners are bound and tied to have a good time with me exploring films like The Omen, High Tension, and Vivarium. Subscribe to Riley on Film on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere that you get your podcasts.
This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
I can't believe it. I'm just so excited to be here. I'm in this dream place.
This one comes highly recommended.
Dream place? What are you doing?
Get out of the car.
Yeah. The girl is still missing.
Well, goddamn, Jason, those were some amazing ads.
Those were the best ads I've ever heard in my life. I don't know where those ads have been my entire life.
I don't know if I can do a show anymore. Just those ads were just so freaking amazing.
Wrap it up. We can't top that.
Can't do it anymore. Wrap it up, people. Fucking done. All right.
Let's do this.
Do his shit. So, the first scene we cut to right now is we actually meet Betty for the first time. Now, played by Naomi Watts. Now, Jason, let me ask you this.
Yes, I think she's hot.
Well, that's true. Well, that goes without saying. But where have you seen Naomi Watts before Mulholland Drive?
The Ring.
The Ring came out after Mulholland Drive.
Okay, then this was the first thing she was in then. Because I saw her first in The Ring. I didn't see Mulholland Drive when it came out. I saw it years later. So I just knew her from The Ring, and then I saw Mulholland Drive.
I guarantee you there's probably a movie you saw before this that had Naomi Watts in it.
Oh, I'm sure there is. I'm just not thinking of it.
All right, can I give you a hint?
Go ahead.
It's a big hint.
Okay.
Ice-T is in the movie.
Leprechaun in the Hood?
All right, no, it's here now. It was from the director of Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare.
I'm still going to stand by my aunt. Okay, no. I'm not sure who did Freddy's Dead.
Okay. The last clue is going to probably give it away.
Okay.
Lori Petty is the star.
Tank Girl?
Yes.
Oh, really? Ice-T's in Tank Girl?
Yeah, Ice-T. Ice-T's in Tank Girl, but so is Naomi Watts.
I've only seen Tank Girl, like, bits and pieces once. I never watched the whole thing straight through.
Sure.
Okay. So I did not know Ice-T was in it, nor did I know that Naomi Watts was in it.
Yep, Naomi Watts plays the role of Jet Girl.
She plays
Tank Girl's psychic, and but she's totally unrecognizable because Naomi Watts and Teen Girl has long black hair.
Okay.
Very just, you know, kind of like you would not even know it at all. And I didn't really know that it was her until I kind of rewatched Teen Girl not too long ago. I'm like, holy shit, that's Naomi Watts. I do know that Naomi Watts doesn't really talk about Teen Girl so much. You know, I know she was actually big friends with Nicole Kidman. Because they're both Australian actresses, and they kind of grew up together. They went to a lot of the same casting, you know. Casting couches, but that sounded wrong. But they went to a lot of, like, casting auditions for each other. And Nicole Kidman kind of put her in a lot of, like, small roles in her movies. And in a way, Nicole Kidman was sort of like the Camilla Rhodes that you find about later on in the future, kind of giving Naomi Watts kind of her big break and putting her in a bunch of, like, extra roles. Not the main star, but, you know, like, little bit pieces here and there. So we're at the moment right now where Betty comes to the airport.
Yes.
And she's all, you know, wide-eyed, and she's all enamorous.
With these two old people.
Yeah. It's funny, too. Now, the guy that she's with has only been in 3 movies.
Okay.
That was it. But the old woman that's with her, one of them is named Jeannie Bates, and she has, like, over, like, 100 film credits or TV credits.
The name does sound familiar.
She's been in, like, TV shows such as, like, The Mod Squad and Charlie's Angels, Peter Gunn. She has previously appeared in a David Lynch movie, Eraserhead.
Oh, yes. That might be where I know that name.
Yeah.
Yes.
So she has been in there. So they're in this airport, this big sunshiny, the colors are, like, saturated. Mm-hmm. Did you ever, like, notice the dialogue in this?
Yeah. This whole scene is really strange. And, you know, knowing what I know about the movie, I don't think we're jumping to the spoilers yet, but knowing what I know about the movie, it makes sense why this was strange, but the first time you watch it, you are kind of like, why are they talking so weird?
Yeah.
Like, all of them.
It's like it's kind of like they had an overdub.
It just sounds like they're trying way too hard. Like, she's, like, way too happy, they're way too happy, and everyone's just, like, way over-enthusiastic, and I'm like, that's very strange. Then we find out way later what's going on, then it's like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, because it's very much theatrical, like, people acting, like, you're
seeing.
It's not like, you know, movie acting today, it's like movie acting from, like, the 1950s, where everything was, like, big and broad and dramatic.
Right, that's exactly how they were, yeah.
It's like, I must use the bathroom now. I cannot keep my pooing much longer here. Why don't you understand that I must go to the bathroom, Jason? Why you
There's
must deny
somebody
me?
At the door. Yeah.
Well, it's time to say goodbye, Betty. It's been so nice traveling with you.
Thank you, Irene. I was so excited, nervous. Sure great to have you to talk to.
Remember, I'll be watching for you on the big screen.
Okay, Irene. Won't that be the day?
Good luck, Betty dear. Take care of yourself and be careful.
I will. Thanks again.
Betty, it was so nice meeting you. All the luck in the world.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Exactly, yeah. I always thought it was so weird the first time watching it. I'm like, why are they acting like this? Yeah. Then you find out why later, and it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, so they're and my favorite part of the whole sequence there, too, is first of all, who are these old people? I kind of told the actors are playing them, but seriously, who are these old people? Because she's there walking with this old lady. Are they her grandparents? Did she meet them on an airplane?
I got the impression that she met them on the airplane. like, you know, just filling in the scene with my head, I'm thinking, like she's nervous on a plane. It's probably her first flight ever.
Yeah.
You know, she's leaving Canada, coming to, you know, Los Angeles. She's probably nervous. This old lady or the guy, one of them, if not both of them, notices she's nervous. And then they strike up a conversation, and I'm sure she's all like, oh, I'm going to Los Angeles to become a movie star, and I'm trying to get my big break. And then the two old people are like, oh, we wish you the best of luck, and L.A. is a great town, and you're going to do great. And they just became, like, fast friends. And, you know, the old people are, like, talking about their grandchildren and, you know, how, like, you know, they have, like, two kids. One of them, you know, not too proud of. He kind of just lives in a basement somewhere. But the other one, oh, he's the pride of the family.
Oh.
I mean, he's got the 3.5 kids with the white picket fence. Yeah, he's the good son. The other one we don't talk about so much.
The other one's a podcaster, Jason, let's face it.
Yeah.
No.
Fair point.
So, yeah, so she meets these old people that are all, like, happy, and they're, like, you know, be sure to look for us. I'll look for you when you're on the big screen.
Yes, yes.
Okay, Irene. Gosh, won't that be the day?
Yeah.
And then she goes to look at where her suitcases are, and she's like,
my bags.
Where to?
1612 Havenhurst.
Got it.
So she goes to basically what's her aunt's apartment, and she's greeted there by a woman named Coco, played by veteran actress Ann Miller, who's been on Rowan Martin's Laugh-In. She's been a whole bunch of Kiss Me, Kate. A whole bunch of like musicals and things or titles that I have no idea what these movies are, but she has like tons of Christian
David movie. David Lynch is really good at introducing characters, and you can just fill in her backstory as you're seeing her, and you can just tell, like, oh, she's old Hollywood, she tried it in the business, she might even been in the business, and now she's a manager of an apartment apartment complex, but she's still, you know, if the chance ever arose, she's gonna be in that movie.
She's always auditioning for a role.
Yeah.
Even when she's like showing around the apartment, and it's on that scene where they talk about the tenant's dog poop.
Like, yes.
Wilkins, if that damn dog craps in here again one more time, well, I'm gonna just bait this little butt for breakfast.
Yeah.
I was just like overly dramatic. I mean, the apartment looks great. LA looks fantastic. This is just definitely movie style LA. This is how people view LA to be, is this right here. The sun is shining. You know, people are having orgasms left and right. It's just wonderful there. So she gets to her Aunt Ruth's apartment, and she's all very excited. Look around the place, just got this big, wide grin on her face. Walks around, finds the bathroom, and discovers a woman in the shower. Naked in the shower, and I don't think the shower was actually running.
I think she just turned it off right when Naomi Watts walked in.
Okay. All right. Well, this, of course, is our amnesiac woman, played by Laura Elena Herron. And I think it's just kind of great, too, that Betty isn't sort of, like, too nervous that there's a woman here. She actually gets embarrassed walking in on her. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to disrupt you from your shower. How rude of me for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, whoa, how rude of me for you to be in my home taking a shower in a place, and I had no idea you were there. That's totally my fault.
And I love how she just naturally assumes that this is a friend of the aunt.
Yeah.
And that I feel like the aunt would have told her about this girl in her apartment. But Betty's like, you know, I guess this is supposed to show just how naive she's supposed to be, and that she doesn't think anything of it. And she's like, oh, yeah, there's totally this girl in this apartment that my aunt's letting me use. And, you know, she didn't tell me about it. That's strange. But it must be, you know, there must be an explanation. So, yeah, you can stay here. That's fine.
Or she may just thought, well, this is just L.A., and people just randomly go into other people's showers.
This is just how L.A. works.
You know, it just... That's why I want to go. That's why I want to go to L.A. and, like, you know, go to the valley. Just walk on sets. Oh, hi. Just randomly use your shower when you're having sets in the bathroom here. It's totally fine. Just use your shower. It's no big deal. It's L.A. Come on
just
now.
Use your shower. Yeah, everyone just uses each other's showers.
So after, well, when she's there, Betty says, hi, I'm Betty, what's your name? And of course, the woman's like freaking out because she doesn't know who she is.
Remember her name, yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't know who she is, remember her name and all that. And Betty goes, oh, well, I'm sorry for bothering you. You know, you can tell me if you want to. You know, I'll just be outside packing, don't worry about it. And so the woman's looking everywhere and she finds a poster of the movie Gilda. Starring Rita Hayworth. Side note here, folks, be sure to check out the episode I did on the movie Gilda with my friend Nikki from the podcast In Bed with Nikki talking about Gilda. But going back here now, so she sees the poster and she sees the name Rita, and it's got that kind of great shot of her in the mirror and the poster in the mirror, that just beautiful shot of the juxtaposition of identity. And mirrors and beautiful brunette and mirrors and symbolism and great stuff there.
I love how Rita Hayworth comes up in a lot of movies. Like she wasn't she used as the poster in Shawshank Redemption?
Very much so. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like screenwriters and writers in general just have a thing for Rita Hayworth apparently.
And it's just that iconic moment. Her flipping her hair. The poster was used as a big plot point. For the Shawshank Redemption. Yeah, very much so, Jason. Love it. So she comes out and she says, hi, my name is Rita. I'm like, well, hi, Rita. It's good to meet you. And she finds out too that, you know, she was in an accident and her head is hurting really kind of bad. So she decides to.
By the way, anyone out there, if you get into a car accident, it's probably not a good idea to go to sleep immediately.
Yes.
Just anyone who wants to get their medical advice from David Lynch movies, just do not do that. Like, go to a hospital. Don't just fall asleep in stranger's house and then hope that's going to fix everything later.
Thank you, Jason.
That's I just important. Want to throw that out there. Because also, I don't want David Lynch to get sued, and I don't want you to get sued. So we're just going to throw that out there right now. Do not do that.
Do not do that. That's right. If you ever get into some sort of like car accident, don't go to sleep. Go to a hospital. Don't just go to someone's house, all right? Go to a hospital, all right? That's the first, number one important thing. If you wake up if you're in a car accident, you have amnesia, just don't go to someone's house, all right? Fair enough. Betty is a good-looking woman, so, I mean, I can kind of see that. But still, no, go to the hospital.
But still, anyway, but yeah, please, just go. No matter how hot the woman is, just still go to the hospital. Talk to the hot woman later.
That's fair enough, fair.
Get your head checked out.
All right. But there's, like, one kind of key line in this movie, too, that kind of gave me a big hint when watching this. So when Betty is talking to Rita, she says the line...
I'm sorry. I'm just so excited to be here. I mean, I just came here from Deep River, Ontario, and now I'm in this dream place. Well, you can imagine how I feel.
Yes, I caught that too. I remember thinking, oh my God, yes, that is amazing, like foreshadowing.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, okay, all right. So that's a nice little kind of clue right there. Now we're kind of getting to a scene that introduces a new character, okay? This is the character of the director, Adam, played by Justin Theroux.
Justin Theroux, yes.
Who I only mainly known as being one of the guys from Charlie's Angels. I know he's been in a whole slew of other stuff.
He became huge since Mulholland Drive.
Oh, yeah.
Like he blew up. Isn't he's currently dating or married to Jennifer Aniston?
Is he? Oh gosh, that probably is.
Because they wrote that movie together about the commune. I can't think what that's called.
Gosh,
Anyway, I
see anything. Yeah, I don't see anything on here. Oh, yes, you're right. He was originally married to Jennifer Aniston. They're not married anymore.
Oh, okay, they got divorced. Okay,
so they were married at one time there. But anyways, Adam is this, I guess, up and coming director. Probably has made, you know, a really good, successful independent film, and now has a studio behind him. You know, studio's gonna get him to cast his new movie. And yes. So in this scene, two producers are coming in to have a meeting with him, and the producers is played by one of them is played by Dan Hedaya, who I know from like Blood Simple, and as the dad in Clueless.
He's a total character actor. Yep.
Yeah, and the other guy is composer Angelo Badalamenti, who has basically composed every one of David Lynch's movies, starting with Blue Velvet. And on. He's just been...
And he's the guy who's very picky about cappuccinos. Or espressos. Sorry. Espressos.
Yo, very, very picky about espressos. Yeah, like...
Like, holy shit, is he picky about espressos.
But people understand the, you know, the whole thing with Angelo Badalamenti and David Lynch. He basically is to David Lynch, you know, what John Williams is to Steven Spielberg.
Yes, or he totally was.
Danny Elfman to Tim Burton, and, you know...
Yes.
Yeah, just... when you associate a director with a composer, that's him. So, that is him. They're in this room, and they're talking about casting the lead for this new feature. And they show the face of this woman named Camilla Rhodes, and they're both saying, "This is the girl. This is the girl.
This is the girl."
Now, funny story here, Jason. That girl in there, that woman who actually plays Camilla Rhodes, the blonde girl in the picture, that's actually actress. Have you seen the movie Triangle?
Yes. Yes, I love that movie.
That's her. That's the lead actress.
Really?
Yeah.
I never put that together.
Yeah. Neither did I. So I was looking for IMDb, like, holy shit, that's her. Because. She's made up very well. If you've seen the movie Triangle, she kind of like, you know, straight hair. But yeah, that's her. She's also in 30 Days of Night as well. but yeah, so they're trying to get her cast for this new movie. And of course, Adam's like, no, I don't. What do you mean? I mean, there's like a lot of people auditioning for this role. I mean, it's one of the top roles out there. How dare you come into my meeting and tell me what is what? And of course, everyone else is really kind of nervous and fidgety around these two guys because apparently they're like the big wigs, the top brass. And they ask the Angelo Badalamenti, the kind of stoic guy, you know, what they like to drink. And he says espresso. And they're all very proud that they happen to get like the best espresso in the world. And they thought that the espresso was picked from like the best coffee pickers and Guatemala, whatever, right there.
Yeah. And they came all the way from Colombia.
Yes, right. They slayed a lot of beans to make this coffee for this guy.
Yes.
And he takes a small sip of it, swishes it around in his mouth, and then just spits it out.
Yes.
Everyone freaks out. Dan Hedaya. And these are the Castellito brothers. Sorry about that. These two guys are playing these producers, they're the Castellito brothers, and Dan Hedaya screams.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is the girl. This is the girl. Now, I listened to an interview with Angelo Badalamenti, and he talked about a sequence where him and David Lynch went to a dinner from supposed, like, investor for an earlier film that they made, and apparently that guy was acting the same way as Angelo Badalamenti did, very still, and just kind of talked in one-word answers, and just stared there, sit there at a dinner table, and just sat there without moving really much. It was the most weirdest, they said it was like one of the most strangest dinner conversations they had with any type of investor, and that's what they kind of based that character on, was that situation with them. So,
oh, interesting.
Thought it'd be kind of a cool thing. So afterwards, Adam goes to the parking garage, and for some reason, oh no, that's right. In his car, he has like I guess what those are golf clubs.
No, he had the golf club in the meeting.
He did. Oh yeah, I must have missed that.
He
part.
Had it at the meeting, and like you know, it's just one of those David Lynch things where like it's just a guy just randomly carrying something. And then, yeah, then he refuses to cast, you know, this Camilla girl. And so he storms out. He goes into the parking garage, finds out which limo belongs to the brothers. And then he just starts smashing it with the golf club. And then he speeds off.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has it with him in the meeting. It was really fucking weird.
Yeah, they just, like, drives off. Then we kind of cut to the sequence where I guess one of the producers that was in this meeting goes to the basement of this meeting and talks to that guy, that little guy in the glass case. And I'm not going to do my best.
You know who that is, right?
I know he looked familiar. I've noticed.
He's the little guy from Twin Peaks. He's the one that does the dancing and talks backwards.
Oh, that guy.
And he's just like in a, I don't know how to explain it. He's like, they either put him in like a suit to make him like tall, even though he's sitting in a wheelchair, or like there's padding, or like I don't know like what it's supposed to be, but it's him, it's that guy.
Yeah.
He's a little guy, but but they make him look like a regular sized guy who's just in a wheelchair.
The kind of wheelchair is kind of elevated up a little bit too. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's him.
Oh, that's, wow. Now think about it. Yeah, that totally makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's him. That's totally him.
Oh, very cool. So the other guy was talking to the other guy in the giant wheelchair. He's like, we should shut it down. Adam doesn't want the actors cast, so we should shut it down. Then we'll shut everything down.
Yep.
Didn't quite understand that. We also kind of cut the scenes too with like Rita and Betty kind of conversing a little bit. Betty's trying to find out a little more about Rita's past. And then we get to the final sequence that we'll talk about, and that is a sequence involving this. It's set in this office building.
This is probably one of my favorite scenes.
Oh, me too.
I love this part. I could watch like a TV show of this guy, we're gonna spoil the scene, but a clumsy hitman who just has like the worst luck.
Yeah.
I love this scene. Go ahead.
So this guy and this other guy are talking, and one of them mentions about this black book that he has, and like, so that's it, huh? He's like, yeah. But he's like, a car accident, right? Like, who would have thought a car accident? And he's like, that's the black book. Like, yep, it's the black book. The whole history of the world in phone numbers. And the blind guy shoots him dead with a silencer. And then he puts the gun in the dead guy's hand and goes to like shoot at the wall, so it looks like he shot him first. But when he pulls the trigger and the gun goes off, the bullet goes in the wall and it hits a woman.
Yeah. And then he's like, God damn it. I love his responses to everything. It was like, God damn it. And then he just nonchalantly just walks over to the next room, and then she's all like, the biggest fucking mosquito just bit me in the ass. And then he's like trying to like wrestle her. Now this lady is like 6 foot tall and weighs like 400 pounds. I'm not being mean or anything. She was a very overweight lady.
Yeah.
And he's trying to, and then he realizes he has to kill her because she's going to find the body and know it was him. Mm-hmm. So now he has to kill her. And he's trying to, like, wrestle her.
Yeah, he's doing a bad job. He's getting his ass kicked.
Totally. And then he's dragging her into the hallway, and then there's this janitor guy just standing there watching, and the hitman's like, yo, she's having some kind of, like, it was like a seizure or something.
Come here, man, she's hurt real bad. Yeah, I can't do anything by myself.
And the dude's just standing there, not even moving or acknowledging it. He's just standing there staring. And then he drags her into the office with the other dead guy, and then he manages to, he shoots her, right?
Yeah, he shoots her. And then the guy comes in.
Then the janitor finally fucking comes in.
That's what it says, like, hey man, what's up? How's it going? And then just pulls out a gun, bam, shoots him.
Shoots him. And then this starts a fire.
Well, no, because he actually tries to make it look like someone shot them, like an accident, but he misses and he shoots the vacuum, and the vacuum sparks on fire.
Fire, yeah.
And the alarms all go off, and that's where kind of the theme
And then
ends.
He goes, God damn it again.
Yes. That actor who played the hitman, that's Mark Pellegrino.
Yes, I know who he is.
I just kind of known him as one of the bad guys from Big Lebowski.
He was also, let me double check this just to be sure.
Because I was trying to talk to you because he's the kind of the guy in the beginning of the Big Lebowski that attacks the dude in the apartment looking for the money from the Big Lebowski, not the dude. So he's the guy that attacks the dude and has someone else pee on the rug. He plays one of the bad guys there. So I recognize him from that. And I looked up his filmography, but I didn't really recognize much of what else he's done.
Yes, he's the guy from Lost.
Okay, see, I never saw Lost.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he was Jacob. Anyone who watches Lost, he was Jacob on Lost.
Yeah. So yeah, after the alarms go off, he kind of just goes out the window.
And he walks away.
And that's kind of where this episode's going to end, just with that hit scene. That sequence there, it could have been its own short film.
Really? It really could have, yes.
It looks like the intro to a whole completely different movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, both kind of scenes we talked about, the scene with Adam with the producers and the hitman scene, they kind of come one on top of each other, and they just feel like intros to different movies. That's what is so kind of confused about this movie, because when Mulholland Drive first begins, we get the sequence of the girl getting into an accident and having amnesia and hiding out. So we have her. Then we have, you know, Betty coming to L.A. and she's so enamored with Hollywood and wants to become a big actress. So that's a completely different movie. Then we have the sequence with Adam and the producer. That's a different movie. And then the hitman. So I'm having, like, these four different movies. I'm like, okay, where's the real movie here? All right?
Yeah. It's all going to tie in somehow.
Yeah, but it kind of reminded me a little bit like on Tropic Thunder having those different trailers of movies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
Oh. But yeah, any sort of like other closing thoughts you had on these sequences? Anything
just
that got to mention?
Seriously, the hitman scene is probably my favorite thing. It brings like a weird like levity to the whole movie, because at this point we're just mainly confused and we get scared.
Yeah.
And then we get this weird little bit of comic relief of like dark comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And I ascertained that David Lynch could probably make a really good dark comedy if he put his mind to it.
Oh, sure.
Like if he made like imagine like David Lynch's Very Bad Things.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Like a movie like that with David Lynch like hand in it, like that would be fucking amazing, and I would pay any amount of money to see that.
I would too. Holy crap. I would see his version of War of the Roses too. I mean,
That would be interesting, yeah.
But I'm thinking about the hitman, and I'm just imagining him trying to be, like, kind of do like a retelling of the assassination of JFK. But with a hitman and him keep bumbling everything.
No, put this hitman in, like, Pulp Fiction.
Oh, gosh, yes. But wait, would he replace Jules or Vincent?
I would say Vincent.
So he would
replace him with Vincent.
Gotcha. Yeah. Oh my gosh, the whole like him trying to, I'd imagine too, like him, the Mia Wallace character accidentally and just the heroin, and him trying to give the syringe.
The adrenaline shot, yeah.
Adrenaline shot, until like missing.
Yeah. And then, God damn it.
And then having to try and kill everyone else there to their witnesses and keep feeling.
Yes. Oh, I want to live in that timeline.
Gosh, all right. Well, we'll work on that for sure. But yeah, like I said, this will wrap up our episode right now, covering the next several minutes of Mulholland Drive. Big thank you to my co-host and guest, Jason Soto of the wonderful podcast Whatever with Jason Soto. Anything coming new to the podcast?
No, we Mary is returned, okay. And that'll be out. Actually, the day you put this episode out will be the day that that episode comes out.
Very cool, yeah, because this episode will premiere on Monday. But for your Patreon subscriber, you're going to get this episode in advance, so get the episode either on Friday or Saturdays. So if you're a Patreon subscriber, sign up, you'll get episodes ahead of time. And then also you get bonus episodes. I believe right now there's an episode about the Elephant Man on Patreon. Mm-hmm. And then I believe this coming weekend I'm going to be doing a review about Wild at Heart for Patreon subscribers, and they're just short little less than 5-minute reviews of movies. I don't go into too much detail, just fun little factoids and information about Wild at Heart. Definitely look out for that as well. Follow Jason on the Twitter sphere at Famous Comedian.
Yes.
Be sure to check out his Facebook group, Whatever with Jason Soto, the group. Very fun time, post weird polls or whatever feature on there as well. As for Cinema Recall, find us on Twitter at @Cinema_Recall, and then find us on the websites, the interwebs at cinemarecall.net. If you want to join our Facebook group too, crack Cinema Recall's awesome Cinemac Club. And big shout out here to Ryan Luis Rodriguez, who will hopefully be on our next week's episode. So big shout out and love you, Ryan. Since Ryan isn't here, Jason, give me two words.
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. Love it. All right. Well, hey, everybody.
Headshots are one thing, but then I'd like to meet the people. Or sometimes Joanna will... has people read, just talk on video. I never make them audition a scene ever. And I like to talk to people or see them talking. And then I get a feeling about them and I can see if they can make it through the film. Like I'm running scenes in my head and they'll see this person can go this far or do that, but that it's just not going to work for that. And it goes like that. So eventually, through meeting and talking, I find the people like that. Naomi came in and did not look exactly like the photograph that I had fallen in love with.
It was disappointing.
It was not disappointing.
A little bit.
It was devastating.
God, that's so lame. Well, night, everybody. I've got I give up now. Just good night, everybody.